In the last episode, we talked a lot about why you would want to start a podcast, and there's just a ton of actual tangible benefits. And at the same time as there are benefits, there are some things to consider if you want to make sure that you're going to get those benefits. That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode now.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcaster. Thank you for joining us again on another episode of The Podcast on Podcasting. It's your friend and host, Adam AAA Adams, and it's a nice day today. So it's been winter where I am and had to keep the window closed for all of this time. And because it's so nice, I've got the window open today. So you might hear a truck driving by or a police car, an ambulance, or who knows what, engine brakes from a bigger truck or a motorcycle revving up. And I just want to warn you, you might hear that. Who knows? But I am not going to compromise today. I'm going to definitely keep my window open because it's just an amazing day. It's incredible. The sun is out. I'm enjoying it. And I hope you're enjoying the weather where you are as well. So today we are talking about, it's more of a follow-up of our last episode where we talked about the tangible benefits of podcasting. And there are so many, but as I mentioned in the teaser of the episode, we need to talk about how are you actually going to get those benefits, right? The benefits, to recap from last time, we talked about you being able to learn your craft, become more aware of what's new in your craft, pick the brains of others in your space, network and connect with others in your space, grow your influence, monetize your podcast, making money. We mentioned that you need to listen to episode 30 to get more ideas because there's so many ways to monetize. You need to listen to that episode because most of y'all think that, hey, there's only one way to monetize and I can or can't do that. But there's tons. I think is 7 ways in episode 30. We also talked about getting instant credibility with people that you come in contact with and meet, being able to collaborate more and get on more people's stages and other people's podcasts and be able to travel because of your podcast. We talked about you being more comfortable with yourself, like getting over some of those concerns, those issues, those natural tendencies, shyness, etc. We talked about just developing yourself as a human being, as a person, just becoming better at everything, just literally understanding the world more because of your podcast. There's so many benefits that you can get more details on that in by listening to the last episode, and you should, and maybe you already have. But other than that, it's interesting that you're increasing the 5 people that you hang around. And finally, we talked about, it's just simply a good conversation starter. It's something that can get a conversation started, pique people's interest, awareness of you and what you do. And sometimes you run out of something to say and you can say, hey, I had this guy on my podcast. It was really cool. So there's just a few of the benefits we already talked about, but we want to discuss, like, how are you going to get those benefits? Here we go. For starters, you're going to notice that the moral of the story, the moral of this episode is that you're not always going to be able to just sit back and expect that the podcast really does all the work for you. In most cases, you've got to do something a little bit additional. Now, the podcast is going to amplify these things. It's going to exponentially grow these things. The podcast is going to be able to do those things for you. Yes, 100%. But if you're going to sit on your thumb, you're not going to get very far with this. So there's a few, like, I don't know if pros and cons is the best way to say it, but there's a few things that we need to talk about that says, yes, you're going to get this, but with the caveat that you also need to make sure you're doing this other thing, right? So that's really what we're going to be talking a little bit about. A lot of people are expecting their podcast to be like a get rich quick scheme. They're expecting, hey, I've heard that this amplifies all those things. And that means that I'm going to just do the podcast for a minute I'm going to get real rich and then I'm going to quit tomorrow after I'm completely rich. That's one of the first kind of like misconceptions that I wanted to mention. Yes, sure, you get all those benefits, but you also have to put in the work. It's critically important that you are also putting in the work. So can you get rich overnight? I guess it could happen, yes, but you should never start a show like expecting to just quit it tomorrow because it's going to get you rich overnight. I've got a great client and a friend, somebody that I met in a mastermind that he and I were a part of. His name is Ron Phillips. We actually manage his podcast now. It's called Get Real Estate. He's a real estate investor. I've got a lot of friends that are real estate investors. They've been doing that since 2005. Ron, Get Real, his podcast, he had it for a few years and it wasn't really getting a lot of traction. Like, I don't think he ever expected to, quote, get rich overnight. And I never think that that was what his like goal was. But one thing that I will say is he kind of jumped in, did the podcast, was adding a ton of value. He's just got a great podcast. We'll link it into the show notes so you can go in and listen to him and his insights, especially if you want to be doing anything in the real estate investing space. He's just got a lot of great value and he's really real and raw about what he's doing and how it's done. So highly recommend. And although he got started, he was focusing on it, it wasn't getting really the traction that he wanted, even though the few people that were listening were just huge, loyal listeners because they knew that it was an amazing podcast. They got tons of value, but they weren't automatically sharing it with their friends because he never really asked. They weren't automatically listening to multiple episodes in a row because he never really said, hey, he basically said, all right, see you later, for lack of a better way of explaining it. I'm oversimplifying it, but there was no clear call to action like, hey, listen to the next episode. So many people weren't listening to him saying to listen to the next episode. And so if he's maybe saying goodbye, they maybe just jump off. And so he's not really like triggering those algorithms, even though he has a very great podcast. So we ended up doing a consulting time with him. It's not something that we offer anymore, but it was a few thousand bucks for a few calls. So a few hours worth of calls, and he could schedule it however he wanted. You know what's funny? He's never even finished using that because in the first call and a half, he said, this is like insane. Like, I've learned so much. And he started implementing some of those things and his podcast started growing. And then he ended up, instead of thinking if you build it, they will automatically come, just because I have a podcast doesn't mean I'm famous. He ended up also working with my team at Grow Your Show to actually grow his show. And so we did a package, one of our smaller packages, and got him into, I'm thinking, the top 1% or the top 0.5%. It is not in front of me, but the point is what he paid for was only top 10%. And we like overdid what we said. So he's literally ranking like all over the world in many different countries. And it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen automatically. He did some things to make sure this would happen. So he's having better calls to action. He's having better music in the beginning. If you're doing some of these things, if you're taking some of the matters into your hands, marketing, making sure you're getting in front of more people and not just simply expecting them to do it all, you'll get a similar result to Ron, where he went from putting in lots of effort, lots of work, having a great podcast in many, many, many ways, to now having a podcast. It's like ranking all over the world. And it's funny that he's ranking all over the world because we really focus on the country that the person wants to be in. So for example, Ron, he's in the United States. And so we're only marketing in the United States, but because there's so much traction there, he's triggering some algorithms within the Apple podcast, which is and even Chartable and Podkite, which basically just boosting him in lots of different countries. And they're picking it up. Even though we're not putting ads there, these algorithms are getting triggered. And so he's like literally ranked all over the world, anywhere from, in some cases, he's 10 times higher than the top 1%. I think he was like top 20 or 23 in business in the United States after a few months of working with us. So the point is, it didn't happen automatically, didn't happen overnight. He had to do some other stuff. And here's the metaphor. Here's the metaphor you need. Ron was going on a trip. Okay. Ron was going on a trip, a car trip. Okay. So he's going on a road trip, I guess it's called. He's going on a road trip and he fills up his gas tank completely full at the beginning. He packs at the beginning. He even selects his destination of where he's going to go. And then he starts driving and driving and driving and driving. And he's literally on the way to his destination. But he runs out of gas. The car is no longer moving. It's just coasting. There's no more engine combustion. And sadly, it's not moving forward as fast as it could if he had some gas. So maybe is getting out of his car and pushing his car, spending a lot of his own energy. And the thing that he made the mistake of doing is not stopping again on the way for gas. This stopping on the way for gas is your analogy that you need to understand, that you might know exactly where you want to go. You might fill up your engine completely, but you may run out of fuel. And if you run out of fuel, this is like marketing and making sure that you're on top of some of this stuff, using your email list, social media, or paid advertising, then you might run out of gas and you might not be able to get to where you're going. So Ron realized this, and he is now working with our company where he's basically paying every month a little bit of fuel expense so that we can keep putting fuel on the fire in that combustible engine so that he's able to move further and faster and get exactly where he wanted to go and even have enough fuel to get a little bit past. So kind of interesting. There's a few other things. So for example, you might say to yourself, I'm starting my podcast because I want that free advertisement. Everybody's talking to me about how I get free advertisement. Awesome. Is it true? Can you actually get free advertisement? Yes, you can get free advertisement. Yes, but you've got to understand that, just kind of like that fuel in the fire, your podcast is either going to put money in your pocket or it's going to take money away from your pocket. I've got an example of another client that we were working with, still working with as I'm recording this as well, but his name's Alex Pardo. He's got the Flip Empire show. Flip Empire is another phenomenal podcast, and he had it for years and years and years. And he was already ranking in the top, I think it was top 2% or top 5%. In the world. We started working with him. Now he's top 1% or 0.5%. And that isn't the point. What is the point? The free advertisement. He started his podcast because he's like, oh, this is like something that's not going to cost me anything. And I'm going to be able to get in front of lots and lots and lots of people. Now, he got a ton of organic value by having his podcast. Automatically, he had notoriety. He had all of these things. He had the free advertisement as well. But what was interesting is the free advertisement wasn't really free for Alex Pardo. Why wasn't it free? It's because he was paying, and I think you should pay for it. He was paying for a editing company to edit his podcast. Now, since he's moved that to us, and now he's still paying an editing company to edit his podcast and produce it and make sure that it's up and in front of everybody. So Alex is expecting it's kind of like a free advertisement, and awesome. It basically is, but here's the caveat. Remember, this episode is all about all these caveats. So here's the thing that was a little bit different for him. He is actually spending money on the podcast because his podcast was costing him money. So he wasn't really capitalizing on the expense, on the outflow, until he reached out and he said, "Hey, Adam, I've never monetized my podcast before. I've never monetized it. I never even thought about monetizing it." And in a way, he and I were on the same page, because when I'm starting my first podcast, and even when I started this podcast, having sponsors or advertisers on my podcast was not my main goal. I was not expecting to have advertisers. I didn't necessarily want to. I didn't think that the expenses would be so much. But if your podcast costs you money, even if it's a few bucks a month, if it's literally costing you money and not putting money into your pocket, then it's more of a liability than it is an expense. Now, some of you may have read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. In Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he talks about the difference between liabilities and expenses, and he looks at it in a slightly different way. For example, he talks about your house being an asset, that most people think your house is an asset. And he talks about it, okay, that's what you think, but I think your house is actually a liability. Even if it's paid completely off and you have a whole bunch of equity in the house, you're going to be having to pay property taxes, real estate taxes. You're going to have to be paying gas and electric. You're going to have to be paying all of these things. So your own property probably is going to cost you money, which means it's technically taking money out of your pocket. That was the difference for Robert Kiyosaki. What is an asset versus what is a liability? And that's how I wanted to illustrate this free advertisement and my friend Alex Pardo that we manage his podcast. It's because the podcast is an asset. The podcast is like a house. It has equity. It has some value to it. So I understand it on that side, absolutely. But if the podcast costs you money every month, just even with editors and post-production and stuff, it's not an asset if Robert Kiyosaki were to come in and look at your podcast. If Robert was going to look at your podcast, he would say, well, is it putting money in your pocket or is it taking money out of your pocket? So with this idea of like free advertisement, Alex realized that the podcast technically was taking money away from his pocket. Even though he was sitting on a gold mine, he didn't capitalize on that gold mine. It wasn't bringing money into his bank account every month. It was costing him a little bit. So when he and I sat down on a Zoom call, he basically just said, hey, how do I start monetizing? I've never thought about monetizing. I kind of want to monetize my podcast. Is it fair for me to ask? And I said, how much do you want to make? And I think he said a small number, like a few hundred bucks a month would be great. And I said, well, with your audience, because we were marketing for him too, and he had huge audience, just massive. I said, with your audience, you should be making anywhere from 2,500 to like 10 grand a month. Easy. And so what he did is he and I sat down, I gave him a template for him to be able to talk to sponsors. And he got a couple of sponsors at around approximately like 2,500 each. And I think he might have one at like 4,500 each. So he's making like 5 grand plus a month through the podcast advertising. And now he has the same audience size, but his podcast is actually net profiting him some money instead of taking some money away from his pocket. So it's kind of cool that, yes, it is free advertisement, but you want to think of it like Robert Kiyosaki and in the terms of how am I going to make this put money into my pocket? So he was constantly feeding his podcast with the editing and post-production, meaning that his show was technically costing him money, but he started doing some advertising and he had enough listener base that he was able to easily for months and months and months in a row be pulling in around 5,000 a month. So he's netting some money after all expenses, which is pretty rad. The next illustration that I wanted to mention on this podcast episode is basically like repurposing content, because I hear a lot of people saying one of the best parts of having a podcast or a YouTube channel is that you can do a podcast and a YouTube, and you can put it on your blog, and you can do your social media posts, and you can do short clips on this platform, and you can make reels, and you can write a book out of it. And yes, that's absolutely freaking true. Okay. You can repurpose a lot of the content in many ways. Here are a few of those ways that you can repurpose content. You can make one recording, and then you can have a team go and cut it up into different pieces. Now, as I record this, my team does this for many, many clients. What we basically will do is you'll have your, let's say it's a 40-minute episode that you sit down and you record maybe with a guest that's on your podcast, and you're wondering, can I repurpose this? Yes and no. Remember this idea, play to the player. This basically means play to the platform. You're on YouTube will be different than Apple iTunes audio only, which will be different with all of these other different ideas. Okay. So when you're repurposing content, the things that I believe you should be considering is, am I pointing to things? You see this right here, right there. Do you see that? Now, what do you think of that? Now, if you're listening, you feel freaking left out, don't you? So I couldn't repurpose that content because you're like, what is he pointing at? What is he talking about? I want to know. And you're going to get frustrated. And by the way, I'm not really pointing at anything cool. Like, I'm just trying to make an illustration. So don't feel left out. But if you are on a podcast and you're talking about the slides that you're looking at, the computer screen that you're looking at, the shirt that you're wearing, you are going to have a hard time repurposing that content on audio only. That's one idea. I started to mention something that my team does for some clients. Basically, we're taking these reels. These are generally anywhere from 5 seconds, probably at the smallest that they'll ever be, up to about 35 seconds. The goal is around a 30 second or less. And so we pull all of these different reels. And what we'll do is, like, even on one podcast episode, for example, we'll do the whole audio and then we'll do the whole video for him. And then we'll do like a shorter 5-minute clip where it's the biggest meat, the biggest value of the whole podcast for somewhere around 1 minute to 6 minutes, but 5 minutes is kind of our goal, 5 minutes or shorter. And then on top of that, we'll do 3 or 4 of these 30-ish second clips, 5 to maybe 30-35 second clips for reels. And we'll post different clips. So it's the same episode, but we're generally taking like 3 clips that his guest is saying something freaking awesome, freaking cool, short, sweet. And we'll put that on and then we'll let people know, hey, if you want to listen to the whole episode, grab the link in, what is it called? The comments. So that's another consideration, is just how to do it, where to do it. For example, Instagram reels have been really popular and they've been getting a lot of traction. So those smaller clips from the video feed that we can repurpose, which can get a lot of traction and get people excited and sharing those pieces of content with their friends. And it's been getting a lot of value for some of our other clients. So that's one way that you can repurpose content. Another way that you could repurpose content is something that I believe is a misconception for a lot of people. They will say something to the effect of, hey, I don't want to talk about XYZ subject again because on episode 5, I already did that. So you're maybe in episode 30 and you're like, I don't want to ever talk about that subject until I'm at least 105 or 205 or after 1,000 episodes. I don't want to talk about the same thing. Well, hey, that is the wrong way to think. You can repurpose that content in so many ways. You could create a B-roll. You could create a B-roll with content that's already pre-recorded, and you can put a few of those clips together. You can put those together as an ad to go on Facebook or YouTube or like a Google ad or whatever. So you can create like these B-rolls. You could also create short clip where you take like a few things that people say and you take short clips of things that people say and you put them together in one mashup, a mashup episode. That's another way to repurpose content. But the way that I'm trying to really suggest is that you might just put another spin on the same subject. For example, this is the podcast on podcasting, and I've talked about different microphones several times before. So we could go into a slightly different scenario when talking about microphones. For example, I have talked about dynamic versus condenser mics several times. I've talked about how I don't like the Yeti mic because I think you're hearing too much of the room noise, but I would prefer you even take one of the $20 or $60 or $100 mics from our website, growyourshow.com/PDF. That will allow you to have a better quality sound for a podcast. You won't have to hear all that echoing, your chair movements and things like that quite as much as you would on a more sensitive condenser mic. We've mentioned these things before, but I could go into more detail and talk about how to use a mic, how close you need to be to your microphone. I could talk about the different type of mic stands and mic arms, the ones that sit on your desk, the ones that sit on the floor, the ones that screw onto the desk. We could talk about the kind that have that are cheaper and how a lot of times that makes the noise from the desk go through the microphone. But if you buy a more expensive boom arm, then it has sound muffling capabilities automatically built in so that that vibration doesn't go through and end up getting picked up by the mic. We could go into all of these different details. We could talk about how it's better for you to be standing up instead of sitting down because your energy level's a little bit different. Your diaphragm's a little bit more open. When you're standing up, you're able to have more energy in the delivery of the podcast, which is going to feed right into the person listening. So they're not going to feel as quite as bored with your content as you being maybe a little bit more monotoned. If you have to, for example, hold the microphone in your hand, you're going to be limited into the hand movements, the natural way that you're speaking, and it might make you sound more stiff, in not in a good way, by the way. But I'm talking about all of these different facets of the microphone. So I could have multiple episodes on just microphone, mic technique, soundproofing your room, making sure that you're recording at a good hour, making sure, I told you at the beginning of this episode, I left my window open and I warned you that there might be trucks driving by. You might hear it. You may have already heard it. I'm not sure. I'm using a dynamic mic, so it's supposed to mostly just pick up what's close, but the stuff outside is pretty loud. If I was using a freaking crappy Blue Yeti, you would definitely hear a high level more than you've heard so far, but I'm using a dynamic mic. I'm not trying to get weeded into microphones. I'm just trying to open up the idea of repurposing content. There's ways of utilizing all these different things, putting it on YouTube, highlights, reels, all this kind of stuff. Plus, you can talk about the same subject. I want to share somebody who, he's not a client, but he is somebody that I've known for a long, long time. One of the times that I hosted a real estate event, I had 617 people at the event. We'll always remember that number because at the time it was the biggest real estate event from all of the other people that were putting them on. So I was really proud of it. This guy, he's got a podcast and his name is Matt Terrio. I'll go ahead and link Matt Terrio's podcast in the show notes, his real estate podcast, because he's got a really good YouTube. He's got a really good podcast as well. But here's the thing that I want to illustrate with him, something that he's doing really, really well with repurposing content. He's had his podcast about like wholesaling houses, kind of a little bit of like creative type of real estate investing. He's had that podcast for a long, long time. And he's putting out multiple episodes each and every week. He puts out multiple episodes. And some of the ways that he's doing it is he actually will record, just like I talked about different facets of the microphone, how to use it, what kind of room to be in. He's doing that with real estate. So he is talking about wholesaling every single time. Sometimes he talks about like things that need to be in your contract for your real estate purchase contract. Sometimes he talks about the ways that you need to find buyers for your wholesale deals. Sometimes he talks about how you need to find sellers. Sometimes he talks about automation. So he goes into lots and lots and lots of detail. And even though many of the episodes overlap a little bit, here's the big takeaway that you need to remember on repurposing content. And Matt Terrio is a perfect example of this. He never forgets who his main listener is. He never forgets what level they are at. And I know I'm not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition, but he never forgets where they are. Matt understands what they want, where they are, what they need. And he tries really hard not to speak above their level. It could get boring staying at the 101 level for years of a podcast. It could get very boring for you personally. But if you take a page out of Matt's book, he does an incredible job at staying at the basics, speaking in the language of his listener, and delivering what they want and what they need. And he understands another thing, that many, many, many of the people that are listening to this episode are listening to your podcast for the very first time. Even right now, I'm recording an episode that's well after 100 podcast episodes in, and many people are listening to this as their very first episode. You would think everybody's going to listen to in chronological order, but that doesn't always happen. Matt understands that. And so when he's repurposing content, he's not afraid to talk about microphones again. Not, he's in real estate, but he's not afraid to talk about the mic again or the lighting again or the computer or being hardwired into the internet instead of using the Wi-Fi. He's willing to mention those things multiple times because it's a lot of people's first time listening, and he wants to make sure he's staying at the basic level, even though I'm not saying I know this if Matt is for sure doing this, but I can't imagine that he's not feeling a little like, man, I've already talked about this. I'm a little bored. I'm not sure if I want to talk about that again. Didn't people already hear that? We've all got this going through our head, but Matt does an excellent job at executing the same level of content that he knows his listener and his viewer on his YouTube want to hear. Repurposing content. The next one that I wanted to mention is you want people sharing your content. You expect, hey, I'm going to do this, and then people are going to talk about my podcast. They're going to mention it and share it with their friends. But there's a few things that you need to do if you want people to share your content with their friends. Another thing that you know is a value of having a podcast is that people share your content. Whoa, that's awesome. I'll do it, and then other people will share it. But we need to talk about the caveat to this as well. What's the caveat to people sharing your content? Well, you've got to have good content. If the content's terrible, nobody's going to share it. You've got to have good audio quality. If you're not using a decent microphone, even at the $20-ish dollar that's on our website, if you're not using a real mic that's going to work, people might not be sharing your content only because they don't think it sounds good. They might not even listen all the way through. It's about 85% of listeners that listen to podcasts listen all the way through podcasts. They listen to about 5 podcasts per week. If you want them sharing that stuff, you want to make sure that the content is good, that the actual microphone that you're using is good, that you don't have too much cars driving by. But if you do, let them know, hey, today's a little bit different, so that they understand, oh, I'm not always going to hear these cars, for example. So you want people sharing your content. How do you get that? Well, make sure the content's good. Make sure that the audio quality is good. But what else can you do if you want people sharing your content? Boom, here's the third takeaway of this piece of the episode. You could actually ask people to share it. You could say something like this. Hey, if you know somebody who is struggling with their podcast, make sure you share this episode with them so that they can pick up the same useful tips that you're getting. Or you could say something like, you probably know that I don't charge a dime to listen to this podcast. You're listening to it for free. If you like this podcast, if you like the content, all I would ask to help me as well and to help your friends is that you would share the podcast with somebody else. That's the only payment that I would ever ask of you. There's all of these different ways that you could ask somebody to share your content. Those are two of the great ways. If you want to write those down, rewind it, play it again, write it down, make sure you got it, so that at the end of your podcast, you can have a really great call to action. I just called it a CTA, call to action. CTAs are a great way to get people to do what you want. And the fourth thing that I wanted to mention about getting people to share your content, and it relates to the call to action, is not to have multiple calls to action. I could name just about every client that we've ever worked with. There's over 60 different clients that we've worked with and helped them with their shows and helped them grow their audience and have a better show. And something that almost all of them have in common is at the end of the podcast, they want to say everything. They want to say all the things. They want to say, download my lead magnet, visit me on my website. My Facebook profile is in the show notes. My Instagram profile. Make sure you add me on Insta. Make sure you add me on Snapchat. Make sure you add me on LinkedIn. And please rate and review the show and also share this with a friend. And make sure that you give me an honest rating and review and make sure that you follow up with me. And it's like, what the F, man? Why are you telling me to do all of these things? Yes, technically you asked me to share your content, but because you also asked me like 50 other questions, I'm probably not going to do anything. So if you want people to share your content and you are having a call to action, you need to make sure that you have never, never, never more than two calls to action on any podcast episode. So this could be something like this. All right, now that you've listened to this podcast, make sure you go and implement everything that you learned. And it would really help me out since I don't charge a dime for this. If you feel like you got value, please leave an honest rating and review. Have a good day. So that was just two things. Leave a rating and review if you got value and implement the stuff that you learned. I'm not asking them tons and tons of things. So same thing for you. Whenever you're having a call to action or call to actions, make it as few as possible and think about what is the best thing that they can do for themselves and what is the best thing that they can do for like your business, for example. Like, I know that some people are going to get offended, but if you have a podcast, you should be monetizing it. There's just too many reasons to monetize it, too many ways to monetize it. And some of us automatically feel like it's unethical if we monetize from our podcast. Now, that was a big truck. I'm sure you heard it. So as we're talking about like the call to action, I want you to just think about the takeaway is this. One thing that they can do for them, one thing that they can do for you. One thing that you could do for you after listening to this episode is, I hope you got a few great ideas from this episode today. Take the time to just decide on which one thing you're going to implement this week. Okay, that's my call to action for you. For you, we spent a long time together. I poured into you a ton. You have so many notes. You have so many ideas on all of these benefits of podcasting and how you can amplify it. Now, spend the time to figure out which one you're going to implement this week. And go and do it. On top of that, I will say that I love pouring into the podcast, and I would hope that it would be something where you got so much value, you would want to share it with a friend. If that's you and you're open to sharing this podcast with other people, if every one of you did this, the podcast would double in size, and that would benefit them and the show quite a bit. Feel free to do that if you think it was valuable enough. Well, that's my call to action for you. If you felt like it was valuable, that you could just share it with one other podcaster. I hope that's making sense. You should do the same thing in your business. Now, man, how do I wrap up this great episode? There was so much value to it. I will leave it where we are. I think that's perfect. And finally, I will say that every other episode of the podcast is an interview episode. And so the very next episode that you're going to hear is an interview that I did with a podcaster in your position. I'm excited for you to hear it and get the value and get more ideas. Talk to you soon. You're not alone if you're ready to either get your very first affordable microphone or if you're ready to upgrade your equipment to some legit podcasting studio equipment. Because on all of the forums over the last few months, I'm seeing this all the time. Even my own personal clients that work with my team, they're ready to get that next microphone. They're asking us for it. Additionally, when I'm on discovery calls with potential clients, they're always asking for this stuff. Hey, what mic do you recommend? Hey, what lighting do you recommend? What webcam should I be using? So many questions. And so what we did, my whole team has put together a PDF so that if you're one of those people who is looking to either get your very first affordable microphone, or if you're ready to upgrade your equipment to more professional podcast studio equipment, whether it's soundproofing or whatever, we've got you covered by going to growyourshow.com/PDF. And you can download the PDF for free. Or right there on the webpage is everything that you would have and you don't need to download the PDF. Either way, just go to growyourshow.com/PDF, which will put you to the podcasting equipment that me and my team have personally vetted. I'll see you on the next episode.